Some things are so easy, oftentimes we miss the point. Man was bothered by a continual ringing in his ears, bulging eyes, and a flushed face. And over a period of 3 years, he went from doctor to doctor trying to figure out what was wrong. One took his tonsils out. A second one removed his appendix. A third one pulled out all of his teeth. And nothing seemed to help. So finally, the last doctor he went to told him, he said, "You've only got 6 months to live." And so he quit his job, went to his favorite tailor, and had several suits made and some shirts made. So as the tailor was measuring, he measured his neck and he said, "Size 16. The man said, "No, I've always worn a size 15. The tailor measured it again and he said, "Size 16. The man insisted that he needed a size 15. And so the tailor finally told him, he said, "Well, all right, if that's what you want, but don't come back in 6 months complaining about bulging eyes, ringing in your ears, and a flushed face." And sometimes the fix is so simple that we miss it. Think about that, but it really is. Way too often we think we can fix things on our own. We can fix them in the simplest of ways, and then we look around and we see on the news, wars, famines, catastrophes going on, and we think, "Man, I can't fix anything." People have complex problems, and we prayed for people today that have cancer, that are dealing with cancer and going through those things. We have people that Nancy shared about that rummage through, and I hate to use that term rummage, but rummage through a pile of clothes because they don't have anything. And I know we're sitting here thinking there are simple fixes. Get a job, you know. Do something, and for some people that might be, but sometimes we end up in despair as we try to help other people and we try to do other things for them, and we look at some of the proposed solutions that are out there, and it seems so complex, yet in many cases it's really pretty simple. And the thing that faces mankind is that three-letter word called sin. And it's the root of every problem. And there is one person, one spirit, that creates that problem of sin in the world, and it's Satan. And so when we look at and try to balance that out, it's like, okay, I get it now. I see this. I realize this. But the only solution for sin in the world is Jesus Christ. And that's when we look at these Advent banners and we see the very first one is hope. Hope for world. It's the practical solution to a universal problem that people have. And so God's message offers us that. Jesus' birth, when he was born, he was to be named Jesus, which simply means Jehovah saves. So that's a simple thing when we look at his name. The Christmas story that Tom read earlier, especially the story of the shepherds who went to see Jesus and who God told about the birth first. Shepherds. Shepherds are interesting characters. And so what I drew out of that is that the message of Christmas is for simple people. And I mean by that not complex people that think and try to rationalize everything out. But it's interesting when we look at the text in Luke 2:8 that Tom read, it didn't say, "Now there were in the same region scribes and Pharisees watching over their scrolls and religious rituals." who were shepherds, watching over their flock. Nor does it say there were in the same region kings and princesses keeping watch in the palace. It didn't say that. The message was to mankind was through simple shepherds. So why shepherds? Why couldn't it have been sophisticated people? Why couldn't it have been learned scholars? Why couldn't it have been a Rhodes Scholar? And so when we look at the birth of Jesus through human means and human standards, it just seems so simple. Shepherding was a lowly task. In fact, it was looked down upon throughout society. Shepherds had not been schooled in the law. They weren't trained in anything other than watching sheep. And I've been told, and I've not talked to one, but I've been told that sheep are about the dumbest things that come along. I didn't want to be outdone. But that's what I'm told, and that's what we read. And so shepherds were considered ignorant. They were considered ceremonially unclean because they dealt with sheep. And so when you look at that, I read something this week, said according to one Jewish treatise, shepherds were not trustworthy enough to be witnesses. And that's important to keep in mind, that they just couldn't be trusted anything they said. So why did God choose a shepherd? He chose them because they were humble. They weren't sophisticated. They weren't well known. God puts cookies on the bottom shelf. He puts them there so they're easy to find. We don't have to search around and look at every conceivable place to find them, but they're there. Scholars would have been looking too high. They would have never looked on the bottom shelf. They would have looked on an upper shelf. And if there were any other way that it could have happened, it probably would have happened. They would have been congratulating themselves because they were so smart that they found him. They would have been thinking, if they were sophisticated, well, no wonder I found it. I knew what to look for. I knew where to go. But if that was the case, then the only person finding forgiveness for sin and freedom from sin would have been smart, intelligent people. But he made it simple. And he made the message simple. And the beauty of the good news about Christ is he sent it and gave it to shepherds who couldn't probably read and write. They probably had no idea how to read Scripture. They had no idea how to read. They weren't really leadership material. They were out there watching sheep, so they didn't go astray. But God extended his love to them in the very first place in order to show that this message of the gospel is very simple. It's not a complex thing. I read a story this week about Seal Beach James. You ever been to Seal Beach in California? And when Cindy and I lived there, I'm not sure if we went down there or not, but apparently it's a beach where muscle builders go and they just train in the sand. What'd you say? That we should go. And okay, well, that takes care of that. And if we did go there and she said we didn't go. But Seal Beach James was mentally handicapped. And he rode his bicycle down there every day. And he would talk to these muscle builders and these exercise addicts about Jesus. Think about that. A simple person, and I'm not using that because we're all simple people. We need to be simple to get the message of the cross. But he was challenged. And he rode his bicycle down there to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he used to go, they would say, at family gatherings, as the story said, and dial a phone, his mother's number, and say to her, "Here, so-and-so wants to talk to you about Jesus." Pretty smart kid, when you really stop and think about it. And the story goes on to say that as far as this writer's knowledge was, that his mother never died knowing Jesus as her personal Savior. Yet he made it so simple. Jesus loves you. It is such a simple message. God chose shepherds also because they were involved in the sacrifice to God. In the Old Testament, we talked about this before, about sacrifices, but what they were doing was tending sheep, lambs. How often do we read that Jesus was the Lamb of God? You think about that. And people celebrate, and we celebrate Christmas in December, and some people question, what's the date of December? And why the 25th? And the writer, you know, of something I read this week said it's probably an accurate time to pick because the shepherds were out there tending the sheep, preparing the sheep to get ready for the Passover, which was to be celebrated a few weeks following what we designate as Christmas. So it's not uncommon that it becomes a December date. And we see and we read in the Old Testament about the Passover and blood on the doorposts of a person's home so that the angel of the Lord would pass over and not kill the firstborn. And so it took the shed blood of a lamb for remission of sins in the Old Testament or of an animal in the New Testament because of grace. It took the shed blood of an individual, Jesus Christ. And so God revealed that love to that love for us through the shepherds, not only because it's for humble people, but not only because it was the result of a sacrifice of a lamb, but also he calls us to shepherd other people. We're not to find a relationship with Jesus Christ and keep it to ourselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I think I've shared this with you before, that said a Christian's obligation, a disciple's obligation, is to give everything that they have been given to someone else. And that's why I keep, and you'll probably think, quit pounding on us. But that's why I keep pounding on us about how important it is to invite people. To walk the walk. Part of it is evangelization. You may not want to go up and to someone and go through the four steps of salvation based off the Roman road. You may not want to go up to somebody like Seal Beach James and say, "Jesus loves you." You may not want to do that. But it's, "Hey, why don't you go to church and have a cup of Starbucks? They always have a ton of donuts." I mean, and I'm not asking people to do things that I don't do. And it's not just my job. And I say that because not everybody's called to be a pastor. Some of us are called to be workers. Some of us are called to work in, I know some of you work in the insurance field. Thankfully, someone in my house does. Some of us are called to be, you know, accountants. Some of us are called to be laborers. Some of us are printers. Some of us work for the post office. Bill, Todd. I mean, you know, we all have different jobs, but we can all be a shepherd to someone or to many other people. Maybe a Sunday school class. Maybe a youth leader. It may be someone at
wants to just sit there and say, I'd love to do junior church at Ross Community Church. I'd love to say thank you. Christian message is simple in content. The angel said in verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. Feeding trough that smelled like a barn. You can find that. Contrary to what we see in a lot of pictures, there was not a halo probably around Jesus' head. We stop and think about it, that probably wasn't there. There wasn't any idea that Jesus was not crying, because if we've had a baby, they cry. If we've been a baby, we cried. That's just the way it is. He was no different as a human being than us. There was no photographers. We have no pictures of that birth. Can you believe it? Did they have cell phones? We have no pictures. Thank God CNN wasn't there. Thank God MSNBC wasn't there. But there were no reporters there. There were no one there to record anything. It doesn't say in the Bible there were any dignitaries there. It just what simply says there were three lowly shepherds there. The Christmas message is simple in its obligation. When we really stop and think about it, our obligation is to respond to it. There's only two responses. Yay and nay. There is no in between. Someone said straddling the fence is very hard. Straddling on barbed wire is even harder. But that's where we are. And when you stop and think about it, when we're teetering between heaven and hell, when we're teetering on eternity, it could be barbed wire. So he simply says, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It was interesting, we were sitting around the table yesterday, and Wayne made a statement that it was profound. Yes, Linda, he did. But he said, our commitment has to be more than just with our lips. And how true is that? Because it says, if we confess with our mouth and what? Believe in our heart. That's the message that we take to people. We don't have to take the message that you got to come down to the front of the church and kneel at an altar. Because we don't have one. We don't need one. I mean, it'd be nice. We have a kneeling pad up there, and when the poinsettias are gone, it'll be back. By the way, we forgot to put, which reminds me, figures out in the manger scene. I always forget that. We'll do a ball next week. Someone said, I read this week and I thought, man, it's really poignant. And it says, we American Christians often buy into a version of Christianity that's not much like simple Christianity of the Bible. We seem to have a need for the spectacular and big. People flock to miracle services. They listen to some guy's supposed trip to heaven and hell. I've read that. I think it was 90 Minutes in Heaven or 90 Minutes in Hell. I read that book. They idolize famous people who happen to be Christians. They feed on the latest seminars and popular cultural fads. But maybe we ought to just get back to simple Christianity. Maybe that's what we ought to do. Maybe we ought to see God as someone that's normal and cares for us. Maybe we ought to take the difficulty out of it and make it simple. Maybe we ought to see God as normal, not spectacular. He calls us to be Christians. to glorify Him. So whatever the problems you face, God has a simple solution. Jesus Christ. So a couple questions that I thought would be interesting to pose this week. A neighbor has a nominal belief in Christ. What's the difference between his faith and saving faith? What does he think that makes the gospel complex? And what do we know as simple faith that Jesus came and died that we might have eternal life? The message of Christmas. Not scribes and Pharisees sitting in the castle. Not congressmen sitting in Congress trying to make decisions and tell us who and what. Jesus says it wasn't that. Three shepherds. And by the way, nobody would believe them because their witness couldn't be trusted. So the question is, do we believe the witness of those shepherds? And if we do, what will I do with it this week? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You take the complex and make it so simple. It's not about constructive theology, systematic theology. It's not about all those ology words that are hard to pronounce. It's about, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And we thank you for that, that we might have life and have it forever. We thank you for this day and we celebrate you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.